Welcome to the program's corporate short-form podcast, The Debrief. A debrief should occur at the end of any operation where an organization discusses who and what went well and who and what needs to improve. Organizations that conduct them perform 20% better than those that don't, and it costs no money to do so. It is the single best way an organization can ensure consistent improvement. And typically, it fails to occur. Not with the program. We want to share our debriefs with you here. Even if you aren't in corporate America, the lessons learned and topics discussed on the debrief can be applied to all the teams of which we're privileged to be a part. Most debrief podcasts are a conversation between program teammates who work with our corporate clients. Often, our debrief is a conversation between Brady, Turnage, Jamie Slife, or myself. Not today. Today, you get a special guest, friend of the program, former guest of the program podcast, and my brother from another mother, Fred Kaufman. Fred is an executive coach and advisor on leadership and culture. He holds a PhD in economics from the University of California, Berkeley. He's the founder and president of the Conscious Business Center. Fred is the founder of Axialent, a global consulting company which delivered leadership programs to more than 15,000 executives at, to name a few, Microsoft, Yahoo, Google, Cisco, General Motors, Chrysler, among others. In 2018, Fred accepted a position as vice president at Google in charge of advising the CEO's office on leadership and culture. During the same year, he partnered with Tecnologico de Monterrey to create the Center of Conscious Leadership. Previously, he was vice president of executive development at LinkedIn. He is the author of the trilogy, Meta Management, The Meaning Revolution, and Conscious Business. Fred, welcome back. And thank you for joining us today to discuss balance.
It's my pleasure.
So, what is balance? What does it mean to you, and how do we create it in our lives?
For me, balance is the biggest mistake that people make. I am opposed to balance because, as an economist, I think of optimization. I think of mission first, and I think of using resources in the best way to accomplish the mission, which is never balance. For example, if you put your objective in the GPS, you don't give a damn whether your right turns are balanced with your left turns. You just want to get to where you're going. You don't count how many times did I turn right or left. Whatever it takes, you do it. Well, with life is the same. Once you have a mission, you do what needs to be done to achieve your mission in the most effective and efficient manner. Does that entail balance? Rarely. So you cannot serve two masters. You're either mission first or balance first, because they go the opposite ways. So if you're seeking balance, you're going to sub-optimize for mission accomplishment. And if you're optimizing for mission, then you won't achieve balance, but so what? The important thing is to know, what do you try to get out of your life? What is your mission? Of course, we can do something in the short term, a tactical mission objective. But there's a saying I learned in Israel, which was shocking to me. I was teaching this material, and someone say,
just recently, I might add, right?
Yeah, I was there in December, January for the new year. Right. And they say, Mesima be'or amatara, which means you have to look at the mission in light of the purpose. The mission has to be illuminated by the final objective. So your mission needs to be conducive to a final objective. And you can telescope that all the way to what's the purpose of your life. And then you play your different resources, time, energy, money, in the different fields that require at different times for you to achieve your life mission. So at some point, you were telling me on Sunday, you didn't have a balanced day. You spent the day watching your kid play basketball. Was that balanced? Did you work? Did you exercise? Well, not as much. Were you spending time with your wife? Well, no, you were with your kid. But some other day you're with your wife. And then did you spend time with your kid? No, I can take any day of your life and that day will be unbalanced. And if I look maybe at a year, it will also be unbalanced. At some time, maybe you spend the whole year training. Some other time you spend a year fighting. Were you balancing your time in the military with the time with your family? No, you were doing the right thing or maybe the wrong thing. Maybe upon reflection, you do a debrief. I say, I screwed up. I made a bad investment. I thought my life purpose would be better fulfilled by doing something different than what I did. Okay, that's possible. We're all entrepreneurs in that way. But saying I want to be balanced, it just doesn't make any sense to me. Mm. Balance between what? It's a label that allows people not to think, because it's much harder to think, what am I trying to accomplish? And how am I using my limited resources to pursue my desire in the most effective and efficient manner? And that this is not just economics about money or material goods. I'm talking about love, about connection, about legacy, about things that matter, including money and wealth too, and work and career. I mean, you have an array of targets, which together they create it's a portfolio of goods that create a meaningful life. There's no balance. And you're always trading at the margin. Let me say, because this is another mistake people make. People say, okay, but family is everything. Well, no, not really. It's not everything you need to eat too. So at some point, yeah, before you starve to death, you may take a few minutes away from your family to have a meal. I'm making it extreme, but the comparison, yeah, it's never about priorities. The comparison is always about where do you spend the next unit of time? It's called marginal analysis in economics. So even in a company, people will say, okay, what is the priority? Well, the priority changes all the time depending on the environment that you're facing. So at some point, the priority may be to execute a particular strategy, but then you get news that the building is on fire. Well, guess what? Now the priorities get the hell out of there. I mean, you're not going to be studying, the program of the computer to see what's the next thing. Well, the building is on fire. Your priorities just changed. So life is like that. Priorities change all the time. And the only relevant question is, what do we do now? Now. And there is no balance in the question, what do we do now? The answer is the most important thing to bring about the future that I want to create with this unit of time. And once you do that, like your first glass of water is worth infinite, but your thousandth glass of water is worth nothing. And that's why diamonds are more valuable than water. Water is essential to life, but you're not choosing diamonds or water. You're choosing one more glass of water or one more diamond. And given the amount of water that you have around you, well, the diamond is a better deal. But if you were in the desert, dying of thirst, you wouldn't even think of a diamond because the first glass of water would be the most important. So in economics, that's called marginal analysis. So between the marginal analysis and the mission optimization, balance, it's a non-entity. It's not something I would ever consider. I'm sorry, I know most people like balance, but you asked me to talk about this and you wanted something unusual. Here it is. This is my point of view.
For our audience, if you could see me, this lack of talking on my part is because, like every conversation I have with Mr. Fred Kaufman, you've just blown my mind. That's genius, Fred. And you know, and by always this, oh, my life is in balance. It's not in balance. It puts an incredible stress on people. Right? I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. I'm not seeing so and so. We're creating stress in our lives that is not systemic to our life. We're creating it.
Yes.
Right. So, Fred, then let me give you a scenario, okay? And I wanted to do this podcast with you on this topic. After getting a question from one of our corporate clients, he's a battalion fire chief for a fire department in Washington, the state of Washington. Okay. And Fred, as you can imagine, in Washington state, right, during fire season, during fire season, let's use your example. During fire season, they're going to be willing to pay a lot for that glass of water. They don't need diamonds when they're right. But during fire season, I mean, these guys, men and women, I mean, they are all in on fighting fires, right? And they have a war, mentioned Israel earlier, right? They have a war against fire. Okay. Yeah. And he said, the question was, man, Eric, guys at the program, men and women at the program, I'd love to hear your thoughts on balance, because man, I feel like I'm working constantly, right? And there's always the next thing to do. Well, Fred, what would you tell him? What, maybe along with that, if you could answer, any thoughts then on, well, how do we figure out what our priorities are in that given moment, so our unit of time analysis there is consistent with our goals?
Well, your second question is perhaps the most important and impossible question for a human being to consider. So the first thing I would say about that is it's necessary to tackle that question with a lot of humility and compassion, because you're not going to get it right. But there are degrees of wrongness. When I work with companies in a competitive market, precisely about that question, my answer is you only have to suck a little bit less than everybody else and you win.
Yeah.
Because everybody is abominable. So if you're just awful, you know, that's good. You win the race. You know, you're running a race with corpses. So if you can just crawl, you win. It's incredibly difficult to answer that question, but even the desire to consider that question already puts you ahead in the game. So how do we use our resources in the best possible way, given the environment in which we find ourselves? And the moment you act, the environment will change. So you have to ask it again. You never answer the question and it's done. As Mike Tyson says, said, you know, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. So, or you punch the other guy in the face and now your plan has to change too, because now you have an opportunity that you didn't have before. So, you know, every time you act, the environment changes somewhat, sometimes radically, sometimes a little bit. So it's a very difficult question, but just asking and thinking about it in those terms already creates a new conversation, as opposed to, oh, I'm not balanced. I mean, that's like barking at the wrong tree. I'm not optimizing. Okay, now we need to talk. What could we do? And you shift a little bit. It's we call that tâtonnement. Tâtonnement is like testing. I mean, you're touching. You're tapping the wall to see where the leak is, and you're listening, and you're saying, okay, I'm getting warmer or colder, and you know, there's no mathematical function that you can solve in the abstract. You have to have a conversation with your team. What's the best thing we can do? So let's go to your example about the fire chief. So we're in fire season. Fires can break out anytime, and they break out all the time. And I'm working all the time. So the question is, am I able to sustain this? Do I feel that this is sustainable? While I feel this is sustainable, then I will I will fight the fires all the time. When I start feeling that this is not going to be sustainable, or I can think, you know, it depends on how intelligent you are to plan about the future, they'll say, I need to take some time off. But not because I need to balance. It's because I need to recover so I can fight the fires in the future. And maybe one person is not enough to do this job. So I need to get other resources so people can rotate. I mean, in the military, you have that. You know, I mean, why would you take R&R in the middle of a war? Because if not, you lose. You don't take R&R because, oh, you just want to be nice to people, give them a little balance so they can rest. No, you don't rest, you don't sleep, you're useless. So what is the amount of sleep that you need to be useful? But right now, the mission is to win, and you have to be useful to win. How do you calculate that? Well, you know, that's what the military does. I mean, but when you're in the middle of the war, you don't say, oh, you know, I need some time with my friends. No, no, there will be time with your friends. Then you come back and you're not fighting. And now your life will not be full in the long term if you lose the friendship, because then you go crazy and you feel lonely, and then you're not able to fight anyways when you have to. So yeah. There's this phrase that a mentor of mine told me is, you can have your cake and eat it too, but not at the same time. So you have to save first, and then you can buy whatever you want. And if you made a good investment, you have your money and you have your car, as opposed to, I'm going to buy the car and then be, you know, in debt for the rest of my life. Or I'm going to buy this big house and have a mortgage. Mortgage comes from mort, meaning, you know, you'll die with this. You're in a coffin forever. So who owns you? And you say, well, you know, maybe it's useful, but you have to look at the interest rate, and you have to, I don't know, there's no solution in the abstract. You have to look at the conditions of the world. So when you are in a firefighting season, the question is, what's the best way to fight these fires for the season? And I learned this from you. It's like, you know, we're not here to win a game. We're here to win the championship. And to win the championship, you have to learn that you can lose some games. Because if you're not resilient, if you don't know how to lose, you're not going to win. And if you don't know when to put your best players and then when to save your best players, because the game is not that important, so you can use your best player in the other game, but you're never balancing. You're always optimizing. Yeah. I want to win the championship. It's like, you're not balancing. Oh, let's have a participation trophy. Let's make sure. Okay, I mean, if you're in kindergarten, that's a nice way to invite everybody to play. But once you get into competitive sports, you're not going to put a bad player just so, you know, the kid can tell the parents, you know, I played 5 minutes. Not in the championship game. I mean, in another game, yes. I'm not saying it's not a value to let people participate. But when push comes to shove, you are optimizing for the mission. And here is the same. How do you optimize for the mission? Well, you ask, what's the best way in which we can accomplish this? If people are asleep and they make stupid mistakes and they kill themselves, or they don't fight the fires in the proper manner, then they need more sleep. Obviously, they're not aware. If they are so busy that they don't debrief, well, they're, as you said in the introduction, they're trying to cut trees with a blunt saw. They're not sharpening their saw. And you say, oh, but we don't have time to sharpen the proverbial saw because we have to cut more trees. Yeah, but by not sharpening the saw, you waste more time. I say, no, but I need action. I need action. That's blinders. That's myopia, because you are not thinking clearly about the future. So it's never a balance. But that doesn't mean you don't need to allocate time to rest, to recreate, to spend time with your family. You know, if your family thinks, you know, you're never there and you get trouble at home and you are miserable, well, you're not going to be a good firefighter. I mean, I'm sorry, you know. Or if you have alcohol problems because you're so stressed that you need to drink because you're always on. Okay, you know, it's you're medicating yourself because you're out of alignment with your own mission. Is you're not out of balance. I mean, when you're climbing, you know, you're climbing and you need to either get to the top or go back, but you're there, 100% there. You can't be saying, oh, I wonder, you know, what's happening in my office, or I wonder if this client, that's how you make big mistakes. So I prefer, you're all in with the mission, and you have your resources, and you know that it's an intertemporal optimization, because the ultimate mission is to live the best life that you've been tasked to live. That's the meaningfulness. That's the ultimate mission. And then in light of that mission, you start assessing every strategy, every tactic, because at the end, that's what you're going to have to give account for.
Fred, last point, and then we'll close. You just said something that I want to touch on, because I think it's key, and it's something actually personally in my own life, it struck me as a, you know, as important, because I think I've done a better job of this. I used to not, and now I'm doing a better job of this. You just said you have to be all in on the mission. And those were, and I put it in quotations, all in on the mission. See, I think what I've seen in my own personal life, and I see it in other people too, is people don't go all in. They try to keep one foot in each, on in each area, right? So as an example, I got to work, right? I mean, I have to work. I want to pay for my house. I got kids. I got, you got debt, and you got, you know, food, all this other stuff. So, okay, I have to work. And when I'm working, I am all in on work, all in, right? But at the end of the day, when I shut it down for the day, okay, today is done. With that, I shut my phone off too. I don't put my phone next to me. So, because when I go and see my family, I want to be all in with them. I've had to learn that. And now look, I appreciate there are some jobs where that is, it's unrealistic. Okay. Yeah. Okay. There are some jobs that might be unrealistic. For most jobs, for most of the time, even the emergency room surgeon isn't always on call. The firefighter isn't always on call, at least not in certain times of the year. So the importance of being all in. Can you speak about it, and then we'll wrap up?
In the spiritual tradition, that is called being present, being mindful and present. And it's a moment by moment thing. It's a spiritual practice to be all in this moment. Even if you're on call, the beeper hasn't sounded yet. Why are you anticipating? Why are you not present? Because otherwise, you're living, most of us, the temptation is to live in the future or in the past. We live in a dream. We are not present. We're not in the present. So I'm thinking about all the mistakes that I did, and I'm punishing myself and feeling sorry for myself, my regrets and all that. Or I'm hoping for what's going to happen in the future, or anticipating or afraid. But right now, I'm here. And we're having this conversation 100%, all in. Now, could I know, get a phone call and say, I need to do something else that takes priority, I would tell you, and so on, and you too. But it's not a minor thing. It's a life commitment to be all in moment by moment. Whatever you're doing right now, you're doing this. And it doesn't add anything to go into a flight of fancy about reminiscing or being anxious or regretful or going forward into the future and anticipating with desire or with anxiety. It's just, we're here. This is it. This is present. I'm all in. And when the next moment comes, I'll be all in the next moment. That is mindfulness. And I consider it essential to the human condition. So there is no balance in the present moment. You only have one body. You only have one mind. And you're here. As my mom used to say, you cannot put your tuches, your ass, on two chairs. Okay? So just have to choose what chair you're in. You're going to sit on, because that's the chair. And, you know, you can't put your ass on two. And if you try, I mean, most people try in three. They're in the future, in the past, and then whatever is left is in the present. So all in, that's a philosophy of life.
Fred, thank you so much. For our listeners, to sign up for our monthly letter on leadership, and to learn more about the program and our leadership development and team building services for your own team, go to theprogram.org. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at theprogram.org and on Facebook at theprogram.org and at We Do One More, and on LinkedIn at theprogram.llc. If you've enjoyed today's program debrief podcast, please leave a review of it on whatever platform you have accessed it from. Finally, more on balance and other team building and leadership development topics can be found in The Program, Lessons from Elite Military Units for Creating and Sustaining High-Performance Leaders and Teams. To do so, please visit Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com or on the program website, theprogram.org. Until the next time, balance. Don't find it. You can't put your ass in two chairs. Go all in. Find optimization and attack.